Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
Future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. Right now, you're joining a community of poets from around the world who have come together to celebrate the written word and spoken word art. Welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the October 19th, 2018 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm here with my co-host, the man who keeps everything running, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
Tired.
It's been a long week. What have you been up to? What have you been up to?
Well, school. My internship that I've been doing for 3 days this week. I did a Meals on Wheels trip the other day.
And that's not a metaphor. It's a public service thing.
Yeah. Totally a true Meals on Wheels, with the Volunteers of America.
Is that Goonies where they use Meals on Wheels as a joke? There's some movie like that where it uses a metaphor. And for some reason, I always go there when someone says Meals on Wheels.
I know there's a movie. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But just been busy, that and school and
wonderful.
So.
Wonderful.
You?
Well, teaching school has been a big piece. And then also just really doing a lot of writing to get the path ready to go. I had to cut it down from quite a few words, but that also means I have to reformulate a lot of stuff.
Right.
So it reminds me of, did you ever see the movie A River Runs Through It?
Long time ago.
There's a great scene where his father is teaching him how to write. And he has him write down like five pages or whatever. And then he comes back and his dad looks at it and goes, good. Half as long. And then he goes and he does it half as long, comes back. Good. Half as long. You know, and it's taking the discipline to cut ideas down to their true essence and form.
Yeah.
And so I've been getting up really early every morning, about 4.
Okay.
And dedicating from about 4:15 or so till about 6:45 every morning, just straight in the book, then going and teaching a full day. And then if I can do more writing at night, I am. But it gets hard. You know, you come home and you're just brain dead.
Yeah.
So my best creative time's in the morning. So I've been doing that. And then also with my podcast, I am hitting episode 300 this evening.
That's right.
I've actually done more than 300 technically when you talk about like the health updates and all that. But official episode 300 this evening. It will end, well, my year pledge anyway.
Yeah.
Will end at 375 because there was 10 before the beginning of the year. So about 76 episodes away from achieving what I said I would. We'll see what happens after that.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good so far.
Yeah.
Pretty good. So, at any rate, we've got all that going. We've been receiving a lot of submissions for the anthology, which we're really excited about. If you haven't yet and you want to contribute, it's a great way to help support the show. It's how we basically pay for everything throughout the whole year. And you can support us by sending poetry. We put it in our anthology, the WPOM Anthology 2018 is what this will be called. And if you are interested in doing it and you haven't done it yet, just send your work. There's no limit to how many you can submit to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just put submission for anthology in the subject line. We've had a lot of awesome poets and a lot of great poetry come in yet. The cutoff date is basically 12 a.m. midnight on November 1st.
Yeah.
So Halloween is the last official day you can do that. All right. We have a lot of awesome people I see coming in the chat room. We have submissions to read. However, I want to lock down some rules here first before I get into any of that. Rule number one, we don't do hate speech. Never have, never will. Number two, we try to skew PG-13 because we have families, children sometimes who listen. However, we're not in the business of censorship. I can talk. I promise you I can talk. However, you know, if it does get a little too intense, we might jump in and recommend that you read it during one of our After Dark segments, which we have generally the first Friday of every month. Rule number three, when we come on the line, please be prepared. Don't make people wait for you to find your poem. So once you call in, you know, you might have to wait a minute or two, you know, before you come on. Just make sure you get your poetry ready. And so when we come on, you're all the way ready to go. Rule number four, please keep your works no longer than 3 to 5 minutes. You know if it's a 20-minute poem. No Beowulf. Or if you're going to do Beowulf, do it in installments. You know, it's easy to do. We can do that. And then the very, very last rule, of course, we love comments and suggestions. We want to take them seriously. So in order for us to do that, please send them to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form on worldpoetryopenmic.net. That way we can see them, we can discuss them, we can work through them, and we can put them on an item list. If they're just mentioned on a call, chances are we might not remember them. There's a lot of things going on here. All of JT's toes are doing something quite important, I'm told. So this is something where we have to really focus on this. We want to be able to read them and really think about them. So please just send us your comments and suggestions if you have something that you think will help the show. All right. So we will be heading into the first segment. We need 5 unique callers. We will also, before we get into all of that, we will be revealing our October 2018 Poet of the Month. You know, you've got me being so careful about what phrases I use every day. I feel like if I start saying something wrong, music's just going to start playing out of nowhere. I'm like, oh, no.
That would be hilarious.
It would be hilarious and something that would happen. So we're going to have that coming up, as well as the first 5 callers here. Looking forward to it. So 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
You have a home here, unless you didn't bring Michael tacos and then you're SOL, my friend. Step out of the studio. we only accept tribute in the form of tacos. What do you think?
That'd be interesting.
Or street tacos?
Oh.
Well, no, okay, let me ask you this quick question.
Yeah.
I've had experiences with multiple kinds of tacos.
Uh-huh.
Of course. What do you think classifies the difference between a street taco and a regular taco? There's the Tex-Mex taco, which is a little bit different.
Street tacos tend to be a little smaller.
Okay.
Okay. And typically you get 3 at a time.
Okay.
Instantly. So
just boom.
Yeah, and they're probably about from
about okay.
Yeah.
So for those who
can see
can't visually picture what he's doing, he made basically the shape of what would you call that? Basically the size of a pierogi or a slightly large piece of ravioli.
Yeah. Yeah.
As the size of a street taco.
Yeah. Okay. They're not that big.
How do they come from the street? Is it just that they're from like taco trucks and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a cart or it's like the guy brings his stuff out to the corners and fries them up.
You know, I totally get that though, because you need to save space when you have limited space. So the smaller tacos let you have more tacos.
There you go.
Boom. I think we just solved a lot here.
I'm still waiting for us to open up that truck.
I'm glad. Man. Daddy Teddy's Taco Truck of Pure Evil. If I leave teaching at a Catholic school to open an evil taco truck,
it'll be hilariously great.
Yes, and I think that is because I've pushed this whole thing that I'm obsessed with tacos at school, which is not really true. But my nickname among the kids is the Crazy Taco.
There you go.
I have no idea, actually. All right. So we've got some great callers lined up here. I've got a submission lined up. We're just going to get into this here. I'm going to read this. Oh, actually, no. I'm sorry, JT. I'm going out of order here, my friend. First, I must announce the October 2018 Poet of the Month. Yeah. Poet of the Month. That's it. All right. So this month's Poet of the Month is this month's POM is none other than Joni Mitchell. She is a musician. Here's a quick preamble. Joni Mitchell is a Canadian singer-songwriter. She draws from folk, pop, rock, jazz. Her songs often reflect social and environmental ideals, such as her feelings about romance, confusion, disillusionment, and joy. She's received many accolades, including 9 Grammy Awards. Rolling Stone called her one of the greatest songwriters ever, and AllMusic has stated, when the dust settles, Joni Mitchell may stand as the most important and influential female recording artist of the late 20th century. So, that is our POM for October 2018, Joni Mitchell, Poet of the Month. There's something weird about whispering something before the, especially something like that.
I don't know.
Anyway, so now we're going to go to a submission. This was sent in by Namrata Santoki. She is one of the heavy hitters of the submission part of the show. This one's called The Golden Sunshine. I watched the sunlight peek through the frosted window. Those beams of light bathing the brown carpet, keeping my face toward the sun, and shadows falling behind me, rising me to the beauty of the world. The dew on the blades of grass sparkled in the sunlight, and the maize fields appear as lightened up by the torch of fire. The clouds of darkness illuminated by sunshine, decorated by a silver lining, and scattering the rays of hope. And the golden glow spreads across the landscape as the dark clouds are pushed, unveiling the luminous blue sky. Produced from one sun, 1,000,000 rays, showering the brilliant blessings by the Supreme Master. And that was The Golden Sunshine by Namrata Santoki. Beautiful piece, Namrata. Thank you so much. If you want to be like her and send us a poem, you can at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just say submission for show in the subject line, or you can send it to us in the contact form at worldpoetryopenmic.net. All right, we ready? Ready for the first caller?
I think so.
All right, we are going to head to Michigan to visit with Dennis. Good evening, Dennis.
Hello, this is Dennis.
Hello, hello, welcome.
Welcome, yes. This is Dennis from Holland, Michigan. You can almost hear my wooden shoes.
That's what that was. I was wondering what that sound was.
Yeah.
Way out in Holland, Michigan, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
I have a poetry meeting to attend in the morning, and I thought I'd get to get out this way so I wouldn't have to drive in the morning. So I'm spending the night in Holland.
All right. Well, enjoy it. I hope it's a pleasant stay. So let's you're kicking us off. So what do you have for us to start us off tonight?
All right. The poem I have for you tonight, the title is Strategy. All dreamers need to count the cost, lest hearts be broken and all is lost. To start a quest, one must prepare to bring his dreams down from the air. A firm foundation need exist to keep the dreams out of the mist and forge a path aimed for the goal to bless the tender, fragile soul. By ever moving closer to the dream, the hope that you pursue, no leaps of faith, but certain stride, secure the prize you've longed inside. End of poem.
I really enjoyed that one.
Thank you.
Strategy is a favorite subject of mine anyway.
Yeah.
Or lack of strategy, which we see a lot nowadays as well.
Well, you got to find the balance.
That's very true.
You know, is that kind of the case, isn't it? I think you have to be able to play things loose, but you can't go in without a plan at all.
You can overplan or you can underplan. You can, but both ends of the spectrum.
It's just like cooking a sandwich, you know. If it's a heated sandwich, the cooked sandwich, JT. You looked at me like I was nuts. You undercook it, it's not good. If you overcook it, it's a hockey puck.
Well, yeah.
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 It's going to be nothing but food metaphors and just food stuff all night long. Apparently, I'm hungry.
I was going to say, Michael, you're apparently hungry, huh?
I'm starting to get hungry myself.
All right. Well, it's a whole new food review section of the show.
All right. Well, I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic. And I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. Thank you. And that was Dennis Kahn from Michigan leading us off here in the first segment. He always is so good in that key spot. He's been missing for a couple weeks. But
oh, the spot.
Yeah, from that spot.
Okay,
show. From that spot.
Okay.
But just like Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, he's back. He's just kind of rising right back up to... I just say this because it drives JT angry.
It does.
makes you angry. Almost as mad as the French make you. Well, I don't understand what this is.
I don't know.
It's just the revolution?
Just the revolution.
Is it the fact you want them to still have monarchy?
No. I honestly, I don't know. I'm going to have to look into this closer. But man, I think it's just the filth.
Okay, fair enough. The squalid nature of the French Revolution period.
Yeah.
Okay. So Versailles, which was not filthy.
No, it was not.
You're okay with Versailles?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I mean Versailles is pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why. It's just that period comes up and talking about it, I'm like,
just turn around and walk out. You're
yeah.
Like, this French Revolution.
Just gotta go.
This is okay. All right. I'm totally buying you a guillotine for Christmas.
Awesome.
All right. Let's go.
Something to chop up my carrots with. My other vegetables to test.
Actually,
to
that
sure
would be
sharp.
What you would use it for. It'd be perfect. You just freak your daughter out. Okay, here we go. Let's go to Philip in Kentucky. Hello, Philip.
MICHAEL. MOUSE.
I have told people that's how to spell my name so many times, just like that. You have
of course I intended the Full Metal Jacket version of that, so just not to be mistaken for.
I have to tell you, you referenced on earlier on social media. You referenced Bela Lugosi from Ed Wood's the pull the strings moment, and I hadn't thought about that in years. And it basically me seeing that equated to me laughing too hard at a red stoplight this afternoon.
Oh.
Pull the strings! Pull the strings!
Pull the strings! Yeah, right?
It's amazing. Anyway.
That is some great stuff. Yes, sir.
How are you?
I have been wonderfully busy in a good way, meaning writing, and actually, you know, mistaken identity in a way that just makes me smile. I go to this poetry group at this local coffee shop, the baristas are really cute and they're sweet, and this one guy sort of thinks he remembers me, and he said, "Aren't you the professor from such and such?" And I get to smile at him and go, "No, just a dishwasher, sir. Just a dishwasher."
Just a dishwasher. But of course, when I'm not washing dishes, I'm a, I'm a genius of renown. Yes.
Or usually at the library, reminding myself how dumb I am. So, but
yes.
Anyhow, it's very nice. It's good for the ego. I still have one. I try to tap it down, but it's kind of nice to be reminded every so often that you got one. So, anyway, enough of that. It's so good to hear you guys. It's so good to hear just the show, and it's marvelous to, you know, be invited here. And anyhow, I hope everyone is blushing and smiling and so forth. On to it, the title, if you're interested.
Yes.
All right, here we go. I think it's pronounced Sila, so I'm not sure, but I need to check. Sila, with a fermata inscribed above it. And here we go. A nebulae tuner's palm eases itself into the pocket of night. Fingers ringed with constellations already past tense. Psalms returned to humble silence. Humility resumed. Along moon-entranced beaches, unturned seashells rest frivolous, displaying their phenotypical distinctions. Emblems of femininity taunt glistened beneath this starry dim canopy, reminiscent of ancestors, going back before marital conceptions, when nascent myths told stories, primitive as charred stones. Prolonged inheritance from ruined cultures, bury them beneath bivalve bilge water. A vanity of pearls eats incestuous grit. Get your own arid pride back to its little soiled spaces, lived out among ignorance and a beer like a mattress prepared for your supine premonitions. Every song diminishes to gaunt echoes. Voices and notes revisit one's solitude. Physical reverberations dispersed, disappeared deep into the psyche, haunting itself with the unmovable, nothing new under the sun. And there it is.
Every song diminishes. I enjoy that. There's some great
Thank
phrases.
Thank you, my good sir. Well, you are a singer-songwriter, and I think that's why the one guy that I shared with you and the other fellows that you mentioned, the singer song, it really resonates with me. And by the way, I was happy to show off your not YouTube, but Facebook video with you playing.
Oh.
You got to be really brave to do that. I mean, to have your voice and your guitar, it doesn't get much more naked than that on the stage. I mean,
more naked, trust me.
Sure it does,
especially if you wear a kilt and there's an accident. It gets way
but
more naked.
For people with stage passes. Enough of this. This is a family show, man. Why do you do that to me, Michael?
Come on.
You get me in trouble.
No, I
all right,
you know, I hope they enjoyed
so
it. Of course,
Hugs
thank you for
around.
It. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank okay, you. Cheers.
Bye. And that was Philip Collin from Kentucky. Big personalities in the front. Actually, there's just big personalities this whole time. I don't think there's someone with a small personality on this show, actually, which is one of the reasons I love it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to head to Jim. I'm actually looking forward to getting this guy's book.
Yeah?
Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. Yeah. Good. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Good evening. How are you?
I have no idea.
All right. That's a fair answer.
None.
All right. All right, all right. So how's the book going? Have you started receiving copies yet?
I've gotten 10 of them were sent earlier.
Okay.
Early. And I got the ones that needed to be mailed out, I took over to UPS today, and they'll be shipping them out on Monday.
Great. Very cool. Very cool.
And I'm still waiting for the other 30 pre-order copies to come in.
I think that's I'm really glad that so you were able to hit the goal to be able to order the appropriate amount of books, huh?
Well, I still have 10 more I need to buy.
Ah, I see. So we got to sell 10 more books. All right. We got to sell 10 more books. Okay, so here's an idea. Dress like a chicken. Go down onto the street and start holding your book and just say, buy my book, and then start taking orders.
Well, I think for the last 10 copies, I can afford the $160 it's going to cost me.
But you wouldn't have the experience of being dressed like a chicken.
Well, I could always do that in front of KFC.
You know, you could. And then just start yelling, I hope you're proud of yourselves, to people through the window at KFC.
F-O-W-L.
You should. I totally want to go to chicken places, dress like a chicken, and shame people now. I feel like I'm going to do that. I eat way too much chicken anyway, but I feel like I should do that. All right. Anyway, Jim, I'm going to get off this merry-go-round here. Cool. I'm going to give you the stage, and we'll talk after.
Okay. Well, since Halloween is coming up in about 2 weeks, I'm going to read Shrouded in Fog Beneath the Gaslight. Shrouded in fog beneath the gaslight, a pale glow glinting on a knife in the dark. And there, midst the gloom and shadow, another life ebbs, flowing from the neck. His dark deed, sight unseen, and he walks away, free to strike again in London, shrouded in fog beneath the gaslight. End of poem.
I think JT really enjoyed that one.
I did.
As did I. Did. Yeah. It is a good, it hit the note of Halloween very well. Sweet boy. Wait, let him. Okay. See, that's the thing about the scary laugh, Jim. Here's the thing that kills it, is the laugh is great, especially the long, drawn-out one, right? But there's always a thing they edit out in the movies, which is the deep breath slash sigh afterwards that kind of kills it. So it's like, yeah, right there. That's the thing. That's what kills it. All right. Hey, Jim, thanks so much. We'll talk to you during
Wouldn't
the return.
Like a balloon? Stay close. Stay close.
Why do I feel like Jim practices at home?
I'm sure he does.
You know what? I practice this stuff. Yeah. We're all admitting we practice evil laughs on our own.
Yes.
All right.
I do so much.
That's perfect. All right. Awesome. All right. Actually, we could do a whole podcast episode just about evil laughs, but we're going to save that for another episode. So, Jim, will we talk to you during the return engagement?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm trying to prevent a cold, and I have to be in at work tomorrow morning.
Yeah, take care of yourself first. Take care of yourself.
Definitely.
And then you know, we'll see how it goes. But we'll be back next week. Yeah. All right.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you soon. Feel better.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. Some good evil laughing there, though.
It was.
Really?
Yeah.
So one of the things I've been trying at school is I have this thing where I reward kids when they do the work with a story, and I usually just make it up. So I'm always having to make up new stories. And I'm able to test story ideas on the kids and watch how it catches their attention and where their attention wanes and, like, how to, you know... And I'm really learning a lot about storytelling. And that's because it's around Halloween, they all want scary stories. But you have to do, like, carefully scary stories.
Right.
And I'm having so much fun with it. I mean, it's really been, like, a highlight of my weeks here. All right. Do we need – is she already on?
Yeah.
All right. Ready? Let's go to Tamara in Indiana.
Hello, Tamara.
Hello.
Hello, JT and Michael.
How are you this evening?
I'm fantastic. Guess where I'm going tomorrow?
Where?
So you have to guess. You already know. You just don't know.
Ready? Wait. I'm going to try this.
Okay, ready?
Holland, Michigan?
Oh, my goodness, you're brilliant.
Yes!
All roads lead to Holland.
Smartest man in the world.
Yes, he is. He's the smartest.
Couldn't help myself.
The smartest man in the world.
There are a couple of us Fort Wayne poets are going up to Michigan to hang out with the crew and the Michiganders.
Oh, that's right, great. On. That's great. You know, why do we call them the Michiganders? Could it be like the Michigeese?
Because it rhymes with salamander.
Oh, well, if that's a litmus test, then never mind. Okay. Who am I to argue? Okay. I mean, that's obvious now that I think about it.
That's what George says. It's something in the water.
So it's
okay.
Is this meeting in Flint? Never mind. I'm not going to make a Flint joke. No. Okay. All right. So, Tamara, what do you have for us?
I have, I never title my poems, but I've titled this one. It's called Sentencing, A Love Letter to Poets. And here we go. I get jealous when I read your words, Robert Service, Sylvia Plath, Olivia Gatwood. I see the hashtag stuff I wish I wrote, and I wonder how you made it happen, how you managed to take our thoughts and press them to the page and send them along the crackling lines of this intricate universal tapestry straight to my brain so that they echo and intertwine with the embryonic emissions of my own mind, and we resonate like an exhibit in Nikola Tesla's lab, like an existential paper airplane that hit me in the face when teacher wasn't looking, bounced bent-nosed on the Formica desk that smells like institutional clean, and opened the birdcage of my heart so we can fly together. That's what you do to me, masters of the word. You break away chains. You shake the tree until I fall off the branch and in love with your brilliance. You take my wish that I might share my soul too. You make me jealous of how your soul survives the hardships of the eternal minutiae and carpets of dirty laundry and W-2 certificates of achievement and the preposterous summons of trying to please someone, anyone enough to be loved. You speak to me, but you won't tell me how your words escape to survive this, our life sentence. End poem.
That's a beautiful piece.
I really like that.
I do have to throw out, Tamara, the thing that made me really laugh after we hit mute and you were reading is that you never name your poems, but the one you name is actually, it's clever, but it's a pun, which I find just great.
There are so many puns. You miss them all.
Oh, no, I didn't miss all the puns.
I do. I do a lot of puns. It's my favorite.
You're essentially a poetic punisher is what you're saying.
There's a whole, I probably read it to you, because I forget if I read the poems, so I apologize. But there's a poetic term called conceit, and it's basically like it's a nice way of saying that you pun a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know that what I mean? My aunt taught it to me. She's an old English teacher. Anyway.
I do. So. Yes.
All right. Thank you,
Tamara. Thank you so much.
I'm not coming back for the return engagement because I have to go to sleep so we can get up and go to Michigan. So.
Fair enough.
Have a lovely evening. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you, Tamara. We'll talk to you soon. And that was Tamara calling from Indiana. It's a beautiful piece.
Yeah, it was.
Called Sentencing. That's what I'm just going to call writing from here on out. Michael, what are you doing? I'm sentencing.
I don't know if that'll work, but it's hilarious.
I'll try it.
Okay.
It might not work. I never really have people ask me what I'm doing anyway.
Well, they can usually tell what you're doing.
Because I always do the same stuff?
No, it's fairly obvious what you're doing.
Michael, why are you punching yourself in the face? I didn't know I needed a reason, Jerry. All right. We're going to head now to... God, I'm so loopy tonight. Let's go to George in Michigan. Hello, George.
Hello. How are things?
We're doing good. Very well. Despite how it sounds on the show, we're actually doing very well. Thank you. How about you?
Well, it's just wonderful. It's great to hear Dennis and Tamara talking about that meeting that I unfortunately can't attend. But anyway, it's fun. And I'm sure they're having a good time, and as we did in Indiana last week. But stuff is good. I was humbled enough last year not having a Halloween poem. And a lot of other times when people read Halloween poems in it. So I wrote one with a twist. And it's not even a poem, it's a thing. It's called A Tropical Halloween. He brushed into a wolf spider's web. He recoiled backwards, only to find another web. He flailed at the webs and seemed to be free, but a black beast was in his ear. When he shook his head, it climbed further back into his ear. When he stuck his finger in, he felt the bite on a fingertip. He looked around the dingy, dark basement and spotted a clothespin. He tried pinching the spider out with it, and it finally came out. He flung it away. He felt his ear, and yes, there was blood. Why had he even come here to his grandmother's house in Guatemala? Once here, she'd already asked him to do things like fetch things here in the basement. He tread back up the old web wobbly stairs and found a dish towel. The ear was a mess. Grandma, that place is dangerous. I got bit by some big spider. He winced at the pain. Oh, Walter, all basements here have spiders, and sometimes more. Did you find the orange preserves I canned? No. Well, then go back down there, sweetie, and get them. Just think, Walter thought, I could have spent Halloween back in Cleveland, drinking it at a party in his Chewbacca costume. Now I'm here heading into this diabolical basement again. Back down the loose stairway, he spotted the canned pears on a cobweb shelf. He reached for one labeled orange and pulled it away. With it came a large snake. He fell back against the pole, and the green snake landed on his lap. He tried to squirm away. Slowly, the beast figured out where it was, and Walter seemed to be getting free. But as he moved, the reptile began to coil and prepare to strike. Walter jumped up. He dashed to the stairs and bounded up, but a step broke, and his leg went through. Hanging there, he tried to look around to see where this viper was. He found his way free. Back in the kitchen, with a bloody thigh and a bloody ear, he strode towards Grandma. Where are the orange preserves? She smiled. I don't have them, and I never will have them. They are shattered on the floor down there. This time it was a big snake. Damn near bit me. And your damn steps are broken. Jesus. Oh, my, are you so dramatic, Walter. What did the snake look like? It was big and green. Did it have some rectangles on its skin? I think so. Jesus, yes. Yes, it did. Oh, my. Well, it was a Guatemala palm viper. Very dangerous. Did it bite you there on the leg? No, my leg was scratched in your damn busted steps, Grandma. I'm not going down again. Well, good thing it didn't bite you. You'd never have made it up here. She got out of the chair and went down the stairs, returning in a moment with the jar of preserves. See, honey, she said as she patted his butt. You've made a mountain out of a molehill. And there's no broken step, and there's no broken bottle of preserves either. Walter cautiously peered down the steps. All were fine. He ventured further. No broken jars, no snake in sight. He returned to her with his palms out. And which ear did you say was bleeding? She said. She circled him, finding nothing in his ears. I don't get it, Grandma. I know you don't, dear. Now let's get ready for the Halloween party at the Old Palm Inn. I'm wearing my tarantula hat, and I bought you a Pinocchio mask. In the poem.
That was an interesting one. There's a lot going on in there, George. That was good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It's just sort of threw it together, and we'll see.
No, it's one of those.
At least I've written a Halloween poem now.
What's it's the slice of life thing that I think you're honing in on. You're doing really well right now.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, I think that's enjoyable stuff. I've been, you know, I spending as much time around kids as I do. I start seeing that there's some powerful stuff that shows up just from those pieces of life as well.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's quite a compliment.
Well,
I'll keep trying.
Yes, as will we all, I guess. But great job on this one. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
See you later.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. And that was George Collin from Michigan, rounding out our first segment of Poets. It's been a great kickoff to the show.
Yeah, it has.
All right. So we're going to be getting ready here in just a moment to go into our second segment. So this isn't the return engagement yet. This means if you have not called in yet, but you want to, give us a call. We'll still have to do five callers. If we go over five, you'll generally be alerted if JT can get to you. And then if we need to trigger a third, we'll decide to do that once we've seen what the response is here to the second one, okay?
Yep.
So we need five more unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Michael.
Wait, are we on? Oh, we're on. I guess I could use my grown-up voice now. So yesterday I was walking down the street and I thought, how cool would it be if I just slowly, over about a month, added a little bit more makeup every day, and then by the end, I'd look like a zombie. And I could pepper in all kinds of comments like, have you ever considered that humans might really taste delicious? So by the time it's over, totally not around Halloween, by the way, people would be convinced. What do you think?
And that was your deep thought by Michael. Ow! Really, dude?
I'm just trying it out.
That voice is the best part. actually, that story became Help My Music Teacher's Turning Into a Zombie.
Yep.
It's a children's book that I wrote. I'm actually going through the official channels trying to get it picked up by a children's book publisher so they can have an actual illustrator really do it.
That'd be cool.
And I have a second one in the series. Help My Music Teacher Accidentally Unleash an Army of Killer Penguins.
That will be awesome.
And I've actually written that as well, but I market tested both of those titles with the kids at the school, and I said, would you read this one or this one? And they all raised their hand on the two that I've done so
That's
far.
That's awesome.
So this is how it works.
Cool.
So,
all right.
At any rate, that little joke actually turned into something of substance. So
See? Thank
you for reminding me.
You are welcome.
All right. So now we're here in the second segment. Looking forward to it. We've got some other heavy hitters here. And it's going to be just as strong as the first segment. Let's go right away to Connecticut and visit with Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Oh, dear. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
A little late.
So I'm always late. I'm not even here yet.
So I haven't heard the kinds of poems that people are reading, but it is getting to be Halloween, and I have this great Halloween poem that I wrote last year, if you remember. And if I just want to let you know that I have it. And
you're going to read that one, or are you just reminding us that you wrote a really good one last year?
No, my computer is being difficult as
always.
It's always being difficult lately. I think ever since the update, it's been really bad, and so has my phone. And so also has my I just updated my iPad, so I don't know, but...
Are they all Macintosh? I mean, Apple products?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just had to double check.
All,
yeah.
And the latest update is just like, oh, my God.
JT's awful. Not a fan. Yeah, he's not a fan.
Nope.
But I do love it. I mean, for many reasons, I love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, they have
not,
they have
know,
their benefits.
It's not there, and I'm just trying to get the poem, and unfortunately, it's not. It's got that, you know, the circling color ball. Ah, oh. Here it is. Okay. All right, I got it. Okay. So here it goes. It's called. Okay. Just hold on. Let me see. Oh, but anyway, how was your week, Michael?
It was good until this flagrant violation of the third rule of world poetry open mic.
I apologize.
Hey, well, Barbara, do you want me to? Do you want to do this? Should we go to the next caller? You can get it, and we'll pop back on. You want to do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we'll do that then. And so, right after the next caller, so just stay on, and then we'll check back in with you. Okay.
Oh, you can do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
great.
Just wait on hold.
We'll talk to you in a minute. All right, we'll be rejoining Barbara in Connecticut shortly. That means
Sinister needs to call.
Sinister, you are now up to bat. Give us a shout, and we will happily take your call.
Dun, 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 dun. I better mute that before the music starts playing off the system. Huh?
Oh, that's true, huh?
Gives this weird.
Yeah, what's that all about?
I don't know.
That ringtone's not even that cool. Do you think no. Can we have our own custom ring?
You know, ooh. I. You know what? I'm gonna. We might be.
If
able
we
do
a
do
custom
that.
Ring, I will record a custom ring.
Ooh, that be like, would be cool.
The phone is ringing. The phone is ringing. Oh my god! The phone.
That would
is
be
ringing.
Interesting.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
I think I could sell those if I started making them.
Okay.
So right, now,
I'm going to send a chat room. So.
All right.
Stall!
Cool. All right. So, at any rate, we're trying to make some big plans here for our sixth year, which kicks in at the end of November. And I don't know. I think it's going to be. I think we found certain things that the show does well and that this community kind of connects with, and there's other things that have just kind of gone by the wayside, and we're looking at, you know, we've floated ideas in the past. We're going to be looking at expanding and making things better, consistently better, always, whether it's through the show or through things we're publishing or
yeah.
or whatever, and just because we want to grow, we want the next 6 years to be as interesting or as fun or even more so than it has been in the past, and create a great platform for a lot of people. So this is something that we'll probably be bringing officially to some sort of a survey or something that we'll send out to the listeners. So we'd appreciate it if you would kind of connect with us. You know, when the time comes, we'll ask you, and then we'll send these things to you, these links individually. JT, so we're not getting sinister.
That's
all right.
Yeah.
Do we want to check back with Barbara?
We could try.
Barbara, let's just do that.
Okay.
Hey, Barbara. Any luck?
Jamie, so we're not getting sinister? All right. Yeah. Do we want to check back with Barbara? We can try. Let's just do that.
Dear.
Okay. Hey, Barbara.
Hello, Barbara.
Okay, I'm here. I'm still looking for that stupid poem, but you know what?
Okay.
I will get it in a second. It will come to me. It will be here.
Okay.
Ready? It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. So, this is a poem that I wrote about October and Halloween, and it's called "Ooh, It's Halloween," and it should be right here. We'll start with a little music. Ooh, get you into the mood. And it should be any second now. I'm sorry. It's one of those nights. I went out with my daughter and I did not get anything. Oh, I might as well just read Autumn Thoughts. Okay, it's not Halloween, but it's, yeah, it's autumn. Because I'm not going to leave you alone. It starts small, like a symphony, with one or two colored leaves fluttering from the trees in a grand ballet, twirling and swirling as they make their entrance onto the hard cement that will be their resting place, or softly sliding onto the still green grass, layer upon layer, creating a collage of colors, red, orange, some purples, all arriving as the trees above grow bald, as if shorn by their hairdresser of the wind. And the season changes, sometimes overnight, from flimsy blouses to thick sweaters. And our thoughts switch from the light and airy to the darker and deeper, from meandering through our days to rushing from outside to inside. And in this vestibule for winter, we gradually accept the cold and bleak, admiring the foliage as if the world were a museum and we were spectators, ooing and eyeing over nature's painting. And we rate the colors as they slowly fade, the cold gaze of winter eyeing us as autumn creeps ever forward toward the final moment when the trees, bare as a baby's bottom, are revealed and their skeletons left to face the cruel winds of winter. End poem.
Great choice to jump on. I know it's always kind of weird when something's not loading. Technology can be so finicky.
Yeah, it's just not finding it. I can't find it.
Isn't that crazy how that works? I mean, you know, we've had you've heard the shows where things just suddenly stop going.
Yes.
And you just,
yes,
and you're kind of at the mercy of it. So we appreciate, yes, it.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm sorry that Sinister didn't call. Did you get him? I don't know.
He got techno glitches.
So we'll work it out.
It's okay.
We'll work it out.
Techno glitches, yeah. I'll try to find that poem, but I don't know if I'll be able to read it later. I was going to read one of Cynthia's. Anyway, I'll talk to you later.
Well, sounds great.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll talk to you later. Thanks, Barbara. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. She's leading off the segment. So far, and Barbara's poem withstanding and all of that, this has been a little bit of a, what is the term we're going to use, of the official term, a cluster cluck?
There you go.
Yes. A cluster cluck of a second segment so far. So what we're going to do is, let's just all bring it down. Everybody just chill. Bring it down. So Sinister's having a hard time calling in. Is that what's my understanding?
Yeah,
is, should be.
He might be able to call in now.
Okay, let's give him a second to try to call in, and then we'll do like 30 seconds, and then if not, we'll just move on. So Mary, that means just kind of be ready. So JT,
yes, sir.
You gonna dress up for Halloween?
Probably not.
Really?
I've got to figure out something for Sunday, though.
For Sunday?
Nephew's birthday party.
Oh, are you supposed to dress up?
Yeah.
Banana costume, color it red. You can wear a mask. You can be a new villain, the red banana. And you can say things like, "A life of crime appeals to me, Batman." Or,
oh, I like that because he loves Batman, so.
Yes, or you could also say, "Don't slip on a peel, Batbrain."
Okay. All right. I'll see what I can do.
See about that. I mean, I think a banana costume is really easy to get. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Or you could dress like a taco and just run really fast. A fast-running taco.
Yeah. Especially since it's going to be sideways of a taco, right? Have you ever seen that?
Oh yeah,
all tacos are sideways.
They're always they're never
horizontal. They're always horizontal.
Never lengthwise.
Yeah, they're never lengthwise. It's never... So that your head is on the top, you know, looking over this ramp down. So going through doors is such a chore. Why not make the taco the other way?
I feel like they
way.
Kind of are punishing you for dressing like a taco is what I feel like they're doing. All right, let's just go to Marion, Arizona.
You got it.
All right, let's do it.
There he is. There she is.
Hello, Mary.
Hello. There's a little leg. Just let me turn it off.
No problem.
No problem.
I'm right on. Right on. Boom. boom, here I am.
All right, boom. Now, Mary, I think for some reason I have it in my head that you don't follow the NFL at all, but seeing that you live in Arizona, I do feel like JT and I owe you a slight apology for what happened with the Denver Broncos last night.
I was at an open mic and there was some sportsery in the back. I think I saw the Brewers. I mentioned I was from Wisconsin and I went on. I don't remember a lot about the rest of it. Yes, the NFL, that was a lovely thing. I was married to a football player once.
Oh, were you? Oh, yeah. Well, I used to be a football player.
He was a high school guy. You know, when I got out of the house and he loved me. And anyway, he was a cop. He ended up being a cop.
Oh, really?
And then 4 years later, I left that one.
Understood. Well, we're apologizing for the 45-10 destruction that we...
Oh, we're going to go Broncos in Denver. I'm going to come see you guys.
All right. That'd be good. We'd love that.
I'm going on a saga next year, I decided. All right, here we go. I wrote a little something, and I'm going to play a little something in the background.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to play a little something called So Far Away by Carole King from her Tapestry album in 71. I did it today. I do stuff on wherever I do it. And then the poem I'm going to do, I named a hill, small h, a hill, small i. I stand on a little hill here. And I look out. I see the American Indians watching from centuries ago now, possibly a Chippewa or a Winnebago in the land of Wisconsin, or an Anasazi or a Hopi Indian here in the southwest land of Arizona. I can feel them looking out at the intruders converging on the land they once thought was theirs alone. Possibly they were preparing a meal or tending to a child or hunting their meal. I see the intruders offer no form of communication. They simply choose instead to onslaught and slaughter all of the Indians' people's beloveds, their children, their grandparents, their hopes and dreams to come. Only nightmares will fill so many of the images of these survivors for years. Not unlike the families in the broken rubble of Aleppo, waiting for more bombs to come and take their dignity and last breath, too, because everything else is gone. The slaughterers didn't care to know the intention or the hearts of the souls of the people that were there, that were killing or that they killed. Their fear kept them weak. Only they thought they were strong. See, the true strong are the remaining survivors who can take such ordeals and still keep loving and honoring life. I stand at the river and I listen. I hear the storm surging, inevitable in nature, the sound of impending doom, bringing tsunamis and hurricanes and catapulting boats and flinging all the people to their deaths in a strength no one present had ever faced at that moment before. Impossible to predict the violence and veracity of these forces beyond our comprehension. I listen to their sounds of tempered warning and, yes, even shock and sadness having to die. At least so quickly, yes, a goal perhaps. But survivors do remain, and thankfully so. When they recover, they will have a chance to go on and teach us all about the result and lessons we need to learn here. I stand at the precipice and I look back just a moment. The last breath I spent witness to parents and children dying, dreams of life. Taking in their beloved breath and once more, tasting the salt in their tears and feeling the enormity of the love I had for them that continues still. Nothing changes in these shots. I stand at the great mountain top and I look down with Martin Luther and Jr. I see the people here, my people. They're after all my people. I see the plights and the damages and the growth veins as they occur or can. I see the wrath and the hate infused by blind eyes and deaf ears. And yet followers follow. And I refuse to face forward with acceptance. Life-giving properties. I know that look as well. That can seldom help the plight of man that I know. Or mankind. Couple more seconds. They plod forward the only ways they will ever know how. Resolve to resolve whatever they can feel and whatever they have to do. I have to accept that too. As facts are unarguable. And hindsight is mainly for mowing lessons. And yet I look at my child's face. I look at any child's face. I feel hope. Hope for their future branches and braces. That life will not be forced upon them to weaken their bones and their resolve. But instead the blood and the love and devotion will make them strong and benevolent. I stand strongly before you in posture and steadily in possession of my thoughts and gait. Possibly more so than most of these 57 years as I scratch my head. Just outside the doorway looking out as I choose and wish. I may prefer to stand here always now in this inner peace. Autonomy. The greatest gift I can possess. The importance of freedom, free will. The most important thing I can feel here as a human. After a life of servitude and wanton slavery, bits of female flesh to feel and broken open and bled out every day. At last, when I smile now occasionally, I know it's real. One life well, that's well lived, after all. Happy
Halloween. That's Mary.
So enjoyable, Mary. Thanks so much. I've thrown on like with someone flying overhead like a warship from Russia or something.
Don't be ridiculous. If they're going to fly over U.S. airspace, it's all going to NORAD in Colorado.
Darling, darling, we're going to the Antarctica, you and I.
Darling, bring your furs.
I'm going to take it. We're going to fake it up. Onward.
All right.
Thank you for the forum and all that loveliness.
Of course. Thank you, Mary.
Yep.
All right. Yep. Goodbye. And that was Mary calling from Arizona, land of the street eggs.
Yes. Yes. That's fine. That
why, didn't the street eggs a band name? It's probably not a good band name.
Probably not.
Not a good band name.
Want to have Sinister call now?
Yeah. Hey, Sinister, okay. You want to give us a call?
Yeah. Street Eggs is a band name?
Street Tacos. You know what you could be? You dress like a taco, but you'd be a taco from the street.
Yeah.
You know we could do? We could dress like tacos, put sunglasses on, stay on the street, and act like we're rapping and just hanging out in the corner.
A couple of
street we're just street tacos. Straight up street.
It'd be so weird. Fun.
Walking around with a baseball bat with barbed wire on it. We have two fake eyebrows just aiming down like we're really angry.
Yeah. Ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, Sinister.
Yeah.
There we go.
I Boom. Barbed wire just shit all the techno problems to me, man. Everything went down.
So trying to it's something's trying to prevent you from calling in, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, what the heck? The screen's on. In and out, whacking on me, and I was like, according to the phone, I was still on hold with you guys. I don't know, weird. How's it going?
It's going real well. How are you, man?
I'm all right. Getting back to riding for the first time in over 30 days. I've got a Halloween piece I just started, and I'm tinkering in the head with another, and I got something that's not really Halloween, but it's spooky and creepy and kind of fits the time of the last thing I wrote. So that's what I'm going to read for you guys tonight. And I'll get back into it a little bit by little bit here.
Sounds good. Yeah, awesome.
So without further ado, if I may.
Yes.
This is Schism's Flirt. Bewildered am I under the abyss-laden, dark-sided moon, a harvest which sees me cower and twinges, reflected off cobblestone paths, tiresomely traveled, eerily translucent stones upon moonstruck shards, Quiet as a lethargic nightmare screaming, have my core dashing quizzically in cortex convulsions, a pirated wording, unwelcome shifts reality through glass eyes of an asylum stare. The ostrich menacing now so feverishly from shadowbox lunges devour humanity's virgin soul. Stygian prophecies malevolently chattering darkly through opaque corners of my mind see me undone. Jacketed white and possessed, I ooze the sulfuric spirit of chaotic institutionalized incantations unknown as mine. Scattered a dimension that held a house of devotion and family. Love spiraling out like a ball of twine away. Claw my retinas to dig inside a mind's eye that knew those memories of painted visions to be home. Swirling calamity turns bowels inside out, raises paranoid insomniac shuffles and such conspiracies. Inundated my restraint 5 points of lost reason with medicinal liquors that seize walls cold. Push me into the undertow that will mark death's twinkle upon my sin, washing me into the unknown. A well-disguised funhouse of horror scene revealed as an asylum of damnation ran under a Mad Hatter's eye. Electrocute and lobotomize the flock of vacant eyes tuned in low wattage, growing dimmer without fail. I march now, an abandoned vessel in pasty white flaking halls and greasy all-night diner crawls. Consumed by malnourished demons that flourish in my torment. They roast my aptitude on burning stakes. My screams go absent like the life I knew. Heart ripping my appendages quickly away. Found myriad similarities of those I loved in some occupants of this insane place. Was it all a game? Twisted empowerment robed in what's inserting a false reality, not just out of mind, but four chambers. Swivel on my shoulders, instigates the cranium dissection too long since taken place, the dismay. Rattled in pieces strewn across sticky laminate floors, unstuck inside hell's rigid anal cavity, vast yet small. Succumbed have I become inside this rotunda of despair that breeds intolerable agony amongst the broken few. Television simulcast, I live snowed in to escape it shall become my reality. The nourishment found in my growth. Bury these truths to show my family isn't more than an installment of some grand twisted atrocity. Realize now how my imprisonment in this asylum was birthed with the schism flutter of a fractured lunatic's mind. Peace.
It's a voice we haven't heard in a while, man, and a writing style that is only uniquely you, and it's always a pleasure to have it. Thank you.
I appreciate it. That that piece actually came inspired by my wife. I actually made a comment. I think that one of the kids said, what if this is all an illusion? Yeah, we're just living inside an asylum, and what's this?
Yeah. It's a great place to start, yeah.
That's what's getting us through, that we're all family. So I was like, that's a really interesting thought. I'm going to run with that. You
know? Yeah.
She is my muse.
That's a great idea. It's a great idea. Yeah.
I have a fun to ride with. That's definitely fun to ride with. Well,
awesome,
I appreciate the forum, guys, having me back. Thank you very much.
All right, Ian. Thank you. Yeah, we look forward to it always, and we look forward to next time.
All right. Well, hopefully I get back on return engagement.
All right, sounds
properly.
Sounds good, man. Looking forward to it. All right, we'll talk to you then. And that was Sinister calling from Missouri. All right, man. So that's been a bit of a wonky first three callers.
Yeah.
Whew, that took longer than it should have. All right, now we're going to head to Eric in Texas. Good evening, Eric.
Good evening, Michael and JP. How are you guys doing? How was your week?
It was a great week. It was a great week. How about yours, man?
Yeah, it was all right. I'm still jobless, so I've just been chilling and reading and writing and all that good stuff. I found I'm on Twitter now, and I've been looking up a whole lot of international people from all over the world, reading a lot of poetry, and that I've been putting my poems on lots of different places, communities and stuff as well.
Sure.
And I've been getting lots of views. I got a few comments on a couple of poems, so, but
awesome,
that's
man.
What I've been doing.
Yeah.
I just went to Mike Knight in person before this show, and I just got home right at 9 o'clock my time, which is 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock my time. So that's why I missed I was here for the first segment, but I didn't get a chance to call in. So.
Wow. Oh man, we're happy that you're able to join us though, and this is you know, we always look forward to it, man. So what do you have for us?
Well, I got a couple, but I'm gonna just choose the one I just wrote. So
okay.
Alrighty. It's brand new. I just wrote it on paper, so I'm trying to transition back on just writing the paper. I heard that somehow I'm saying it changes you or whatever, but supposedly it's better than trying to look at a blank screen. I don't know. I've been writing on my phone and computer for a long time. But anyways, this is called Don't over re-revise your poem to death. All right. You guys ready? Okay. Don't over-edit, don't over-revise, or don't over-re-revise your poem to death. Don't over-edit, 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 and don't over-re-edit, 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 over-re-edit. Don't over-revise, 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 and don't over-re-revise, over-re-revise, revise, over-re-revise, over-re-revise, over-re-revise your poem to death. Otherwise, it might lose its original meaning, content, context, symbolism, allegory, allusions, illusions, metered rhymes, strains, restraints, rhythms, unmetered rhymes, and could easily become something completely different than what the poet originally wanted it to be. In doing so, you are killing your poem and yourself. That's MP.
You had me laughing at the beginning there, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's supposed to be comical, but it's true because I've been doing some poetry with someone and I've been trying to figure out what this poet seems to find interesting, and he thinks that I should do like pretty much something completely different than what I do every day in my poetry. And so I've been trying to give him the time of my day, and it's very hard, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And he wasn't pleased. But anyway, he had said something about, I said, what's up, man? And he said something about writing, revise, 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 revise. And I told him I don't believe in revising so much. I believe in spontaneity. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with editing and revising your poem, but I don't think you need to take it to the extreme.
Sure.
So all you're doing is revising and editing. What's the point of writing,
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I came up with that poem. But there's a lot of other people that believe the same, the difference for me, so.
Well, it's different styles as well. I think it's there was something I heard earlier today I think is really, really solid, which is that with skill level being whatever it is, one of the big differences between professionals and amateurs is professionals, they get to work, but they know the job has to get done. Amateurs tend to overthink it and just spend all their time in thinking and processing mode and don't just execute.
Yeah.
And that's the real difference. And so it's... yeah, I can see that too,
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
You got it, man.
Yeah, That's why I got, that's why I wrote that. I just wrote that like about 5 seconds ago. I just finished it. So it just came to my head, and it's just my point of view, of course, but I agree with what you're saying. I'm not a professional poet at all. Yeah, I was published. I had my first 3 books published, but it didn't work out.
Sure.
And I've been published in literary magazines and journals all over the U.S. and even in internationally too. But, you know, it's not, I don't think, of course, I'm not a poetry god or professional or whatever. Like I said before, it's a hobby. But just because it's a hobby doesn't mean it's not authentic. And it's worthless and meaningless. So,
right. No, totally
I
agree.
I give a lot of time to, you know, my poetry, and it doesn't give me any bread on the table. It doesn't give me anything. Yeah, it gives me pleasure, and it's more pleasurable than sex, I think, for me. But it also gives me euphoria and happiness and things like that. That's why I do it. But also, yeah, of course, I want to be heard too.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm going to stop yapping my lip because I know I can talk to you forever.
All right, man.
But anyway, thanks so much for the platform. I'm going to let the next poet come on, and I'm going to try to hit the return engagement. I got another poem, too, I'd like to share.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good.
Well, thanks for everything you guys do for us, the platform, the ability to call in, the website. I've been sharing your show. With a couple of my friends. I don't know if they've tuned in yet. One's a poet and one's a singer-songwriter as well, kind of like you, Michael. And he believes in not becoming famous as a musician. And he's actually a local legend, kind of, like an upcoming artist, but he's not going to record anything. He doesn't believe in making money off of his art. He's also an engineer in college, too. So.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah. And he makes another job too. So, but he believes in creating to create, and that's kind of my philosophy right now. So.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, thank you, Eric. We're going to get moving. We got another poet, but we look forward to meeting them as well. And we'll talk to you during the return engagement. Okay.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy.
Taking up too much time.
You're all right, man.
Talk to you in a little
while.
Talk
to you soon. Bye. And that was Eric Kahn from Texas. All right, we got one more caller in this segment. One more, JT.
I hope we don't have a glitch.
It's going to be what it's like tonight. Okay. Let's go to Stan in Alabama. Hey, Stan.
Of course.
If you can hear us, we can't hear you. Please give us a call back. Oh, my gosh.
See what I do to this show?
No, you don't do it to the show. This,
well, no.
Didn't
you hear what I said? As long as we don't have a glitch.
But you know what? The first segment went way too easy.
It did. It did.
And then the second one came back, and it's like, oh, and here we go.
Yeah.
Now we're just going to battle through this one. That's okay. It is
there he
okay.
Is.
Here we go. Hello, Stan.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for being patient. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. You know, of all the evil laughs, the one that I remember the most?
Which?
Renfield.
Yep.
Had to be.
That's true, isn't it?
I even loved Marty Johnson when he did it.
Oh, man. There's, you know, the Renfield I've always enjoyed was... the rest of the movie was kind of weird. The Bram Stoker's Dracula one that Francis Ford Coppola made. But the one that I thought was a really strange Renfield was Tom Waits. That was an interesting choice. Man. See, the thing is, it really bummed me out when I read Dracula as a kid and I realized it wasn't that good of a book. I thought, what the hell is this all about? I read Frankenstein in one day and I'm like, this is not a good book. Like, the story's good, but what the hell is this?
Yeah, I know.
You know, hey, good stories last, though. Good stories last.
Yes, they do. Thank God for Hollywood.
Yeah, true. You know, that's the thing about Hollywood. A complex, layered piece, it's probably not going to get on the screen, but you put a guy with bolts in his neck and green skin walking around going, ah, that's gold, man. They're putting that up on the screen.
Really? Really, yeah. That had to have been something.
Anyway.
That had to have been something to sell. Right. I'll tell you what, we can make it work. Get Karloff.
Oh, yeah, Karloff can do anything. Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you have for us?
Well, it's Halloween, so I got a little spooky piece for you.
All right.
It's called The Crusher. Feel you the night and all it hides, the moonless night where no light abides. Stark shadows, an omen, but what does it usher? Might be sign it's time to meet the Crusher. Alone in the dark, you quicken your walk. Too bad, too slow, the Crusher now stalks. The terror overwhelming, your body tightens within. You see flaming red eyes and a ravenous grin. No screams do you utter, tight in death's grip, then gutted and eaten, leaving nearly no trace. The deed now is done. The Crusher's hunger abates until the next moonless night. In the shadows, he waits. Sleep well. In peace.
This is one of the reasons I enjoy Halloween so much, Stan. Stuff like that.
I hear you. Well, you gotta love it.
And a great read, man. Great read,
oh,
as always.
Man. Yeah, this is a fun season.
It is. You know, I was telling the kids that one of the reasons that Halloween is one of my favorite holidays has very little to do with anything other than it's the one day a year where I can walk into a grocery store and see Dracula talking to Batman, and it's completely normal. And I wish that it was like that all of the time, you know?
Well, you know, they say that's not too far from what you see on Hollywood, you know.
Hollywood's not that cool.
No, really. But you will see Batman talking to, you know, to a vampire.
It's very, that's, you know? Yeah, central casting. If you go on a studio lot, you will. Three nuns are always walking by in the background, even though there aren't movies with nuns really made that much anymore. You know,
they're just always there.
They're just walking in circles around the studio. It's just something that happens. Well,
yeah,
anyway.
This is true. Yeah, this is very true.
It's definitely. Well, hey, Stan, thanks so much, man. Are you going to be calling back during the return engagement?
Of course.
Perfect. Looking forward to it.
It'll be my pleasure, and thank you all.
Hey, thank you. We'll talk to you shortly, okay?
All right.
And that was Stan calling in Alabama. Now, he's rounding out our second segment. Now, it doesn't look like a third segment is necessary. So what we're going to do here, as soon as JT's ready, I don't want to rush him too much, is we're going to go and do a return engagement, which means anybody who wants to call can call, even if you're calling back to share another one. We're just going to go straight into it. So, you ready?
Ready.
Cool. All right, give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Everybody, give us a call.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we are back here for the return engagement. We've got seven callers lined up. I am pumped. Are you pumped?
Totally.
All right, I've been lifting weights. Getting jacked
all
over here.
All swole up.
Can barely raise my arms. Just the way I like it.
Can't wipe my head.
Can't blow my nose. Kind of having a little bit of a problem right now. But instead of dealing with it, we're just going to go to Connecticut and start with Barbara.
Just the way I like it. Can't wipe my head.
Just going to listen to ourselves for a while.
Okay, cool. You are really on delay tonight.
How are you, Barbara?
I was just listening. I'm good. I found my poem.
All right.
I recopied it to a place I could find it easily.
Fantastic.
So I'm going to read it since everybody's dying to hear it. All right. It's probably a week early, but anyway. Ooh, it's Halloween.
The moon looks eerie, peeking between night-shrouded clouds as it lights the way for trick-or-treaters garbed in colorful costumes, holding hanging pumpkins, or carrying bags heavy with garnered candies. And they pass by the unlit homes, the ones undecorated, the ones with porch lights extinguished, hurrying down the sidewalk to the next creepy spiderweb-traced walkway, under trees where ghosts might sway and skeletons settle. And as these children reenact the age-old Halloween tradition, they are shuttled from block to block by waiting parents, and not as I did, walking by myself, alone in the dark, as I gathered the courage to ring one more bell and say in childish voice, "Trick or treat!" That was really not childish. "Trick or treat!" Or later, in our suburban neighborhood, my children sent out early around the block, anxious to hurry home so they wouldn't be out when the older kids ran riot and egged the homes that did not offer candy, egging themselves as well as they cavorted through the streets in a mad chaos of youthful abandonment. And were the spirits who awoke at midnight from silent graves gleefully watching as they remembered their younger days when they were flesh and blood, and Halloween was a night when candy was all, and dressing up to get it was the best night of the year? End poem.
Congratulations on your childish voice. I think it carried very, very nicely.
The other one was a little witchy.
it's a little witchy, you know. But
the first was a little witchy, but the second was very childish, I thought.
That's just childish or witchy. They are two very different things, but both very admirable and respectable.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so I found the poem. I read it.
Well, thank you for that as well. We're happy to hear it.
Good. Good. And I just wanted to mention one place that everybody who's here should visit. It's called Motivational Strips. It's on Facebook. And
this is where people strip and then say motivational things while they're doing it, right?
Yes, actually, they do. They're very motivational. And they do, you know, strip you of your...
Ah.
Whatever.
Of your cash?
No, they're really good people. And I just wanted to say that. You should go there on Facebook and take a look.
Okay.
Because they're really good.
Motivational and, strippers.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And there's one other thing. What was I going to say? No.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I have my radio show next week. And I have this cool guy, Joshua the Gamer, who has this other website called... it's called Shrimp. Swear to God.
His website, is it shrimp.com? that's a rare find. That's a get. Hey guys, I just bought shrimp.com. It has nothing to do with anything, but we're going to use it because it's awesome.
Oh, no. I forgot the name of it.
There's a website. I just looked this up. There's a site that says God Hates Shrimp. No, I'm not God. Joking. GodHatesShrimp.com is a real website. All right.
No. Anyway. No, it's something shrimp. And I will make sure that everybody knows that website before I get off the thing, because it's definitely, it's something shrimp. But it's very good. It's a very nice website where if you do certain things that are free and you do them enough, he'll buy your book, and he buys the book and then he reviews it for you. So very cool. And so he's going to be on my show.
All right.
My show, Tales from the Red River Radio, Tales from the Pages, on Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So anybody who wants to listen...
Awesome.
Go ahead. We're in archives. Okay, that's it.
All right.
Time is over. Jim, on to you.
All right. Thank you, Barbara.
Bye.
All right, bye.
And have a great week, Michael.
You as well. Okay. You as well. Thank
okay.
you. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. I got to be honest with you. So because of that interaction there, I discovered GodHateShrimp.com, and it is a play on the Westboro Baptist Church site. And it basically says that
okay.
if why are we only talking about one or two things that are called an abomination? Why not talk about all of the things, the places in the Bible where God says that shrimp are an abomination?
Interesting.
Hilarious.
Okay.
So, GodHateShrimp.com. This is good stuff, guys. This is good stuff. All right, let's go now to Jim in Pennsylvania.
Bible, where God says that shrimp are an abomination. Interesting. Hilarious. Okay. So, GodHateShrimp.com. This is good stuff, guys. This is good stuff. All right, let's go now to Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Good evening.
Is that the best introduction you think you've ever had?
We are not sure. We'll ask ourselves, and then we will get back to you.
All right. Yes, ask yourselves.
Later.
All right.
We have many things to do, and many people to do them too.
You just described my dating life. All right, Jim, I'm going to give you the stage, and we'll talk after.
Okay. This is what I've read before, the most dangerous in the world. We are poets, able to assassinate with similes and murder you in metaphor. Anger or upset us, and we could destroy you in verse. Or let you live. End a poem.
I enjoyed that. JT, what'd you think?
I thought it was good. Yeah. Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah. Very cool, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, do you dress up for Halloween? Is that something you do?
Yeah. Danielle's kind of encouraged me. 1 year I was going to go as Gru.
Okay.
I think I had to work, so I wasn't able to wear it. 1 year I went steampunk.
Well, that's I could see that. Yeah. That makes sense. I found out that, you know, I switch accents at school a lot, and I have a predisposition to wearing mostly black, including a scarf, and occasionally I talk like this. And the kids are like, "You're Groot!" And from Despicable Me.
Yeah.
Right. And but that doesn't. Exactly. But I think that's more natural. That's not me trying to do it.
Yeah, it's very natural for you.
Yes. Yes. I have the haircut and everything. But anyway. All right. Well, I hope you find something. Maybe you could be like Black Sam Bellamy or something like that. That's just off the top of my head.
I could use a clown outfit and a red balloon.
Yes, why not do that? Yeah. All right.
You sit on the front porch, motionless until kids come by.
And then even then, wait for a few seconds and then do it?
Yeah, just turn my head.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. I think that'd be great.
They'll fear.
Kids are like, "My dad takes me to Krav Maga." Right.
It's a certain date. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely, not for very much longer. I've got to keep control. Okay, that's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Talk to you soon. Appreciate it. And that was Jim Collin from Pennsylvania. Fully in the Halloween spirit, that one.
A little time warp there.
A little bit of a time warp. It's all right.
Yeah.
All right. Now.
It dropped.
Uh-oh.
Look. It's not
sinister.
Called back.
You must call. must call. So, I remember last year or a couple of years ago, there was this huge scare about killer clowns.
Yes.
Everyone was so worried about it.
And yes.
I had to explain to so many classes that it wasn't real. And I remember hearing, I might have mentioned this on the show before, that my nephew was really freaked out because of the stuff he was hearing at school.
Yep.
So he told my brother that he was worried about killer clowns when they go out trick-or-treating. And my brother's response was, I thought, the best, where he goes, Liam, if we see a killer clown while we're out trick-or-treating, the next thing you're going to see is me chasing a killer clown down the street. And for some reason, that made Liam feel better. And I thought, it's just a good answer. It's just a good, hilarious answer. All right, so we haven't heard from Sinister here. What do you think? Should we just head over to Eric?
Yeah, let's continue. All right,
let's head to Eric and see what we can do here. All right, so get ready, Eric. Here we go. Hello, Eric.
Hello, Michael and Vicky.
Hey there. Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, so what do you have for us this time?
All righty. Something a little different.
Okay.
All right. It's called What Wasted Waste. I'm all ready. I'm trying to charge my phone. My phone was off, and it was like 2% when I got home, so I've been charging it. All right. You ready? All righty. What wasted waste? Wasted debates, wasted dialogues, wasted breaths, wasted efforts, wasted energies, wasted times, wasted days, wasted weeks, wasted months, wasted years, wasted lifetimes, wasted knowledges, wasted secrets, wasted powers, wasted egos, wasted loves, wasted emotions, wasted wasted existences. Sorry, I just messed up 3 times. That's all right. Wasted pleasures, wasted pains, wasted pleasurable pains, wasted gains, wasted seeds, wasted ideas, wasted beliefs, wasted facts, wasted fictions, wasted thoughts, wasted minds, wasted actions, wasted words, wasted foods, wasted poems, wasted proses, wasted spoken words, wasted poetic proses, wasted literatures, wasted artworks, wasted philosophies, wasted books, wasted injustices, wasted justices, wasted principles, wasted ethics, wasted values, wasted morals, wasted proof, wasted evidences, wasted sciences, wasted religions, wasted myths, wasted fairy tales, wasted fables, wasted legends, wasted histories, wasted everything, wasted anything, wasted waste. Waste are we or are we not? Wasted waste? Are we not wasting nothing? That's in peace.
Nice work, man.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You got it. You got it. And keep working at it. And best of luck, man, finding employment, everything this next week. We're all thinking about you.
Well, I got I might have a job actually, but yeah. I was talking to a host where I do my open mic night in person.
Yeah.
Well, it's not mine, but where I go.
Sure.
And anyways, I was talking to him, and we got a new location because the other guy went out of business. He's still our host, and he's our announcer, and he's our I forgot what it's called, but whatever. He's the first person, and he does the announcements and calls us to order and all that. I forgot what it's called, but
the MC.
He's kind of like our leader, I guess. Huh?
The MC.
I guess. I don't know what that means, but yeah, I guess.
yes, it. Well, I mean, we can say it's master of ceremonies. So that's it's usually.
Okay. Yeah. Well, basically, yeah. I mean, that. Yeah, you could say that. Yeah.
Okay.
He's the main man.
Yeah, that's the term. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, to make the long story short, I was talking to the host that's given us the right to come, and we switched location. It's not far from where the other place was. The other place went out of business. But anyways, he was telling me that he, a brand new company is leasing his business, his old company's building to him. And he said that they're a manufacturing company. And he said for me to call him tomorrow and get a number. So that's a good way to network. And it's, you know, got offhand too. So I don't know if I got the job or anything yet, but it'd be nice.
Hey, man. Understood.
So I'm going to keep trying too. So
best of luck. Best of luck, man.
Well, thanks so much. I'm going to stick around and listen to the rest of the show. And you guys have a great week, and I'll let you know what's up. I'm moving in with my second cousin. I don't know if I said that last week or not.
I think so, yeah.
And then you can get back on, so I'll get back on my feet. So
awesome, man. Awesome. Well, hey, yeah. Best of luck with everything going on. We'll talk to you next week.
All righty. Thanks so much. Thanks for the platform. Thanks for everything you guys do for myself and all the poets. And we really, well, I'm saying for myself, I really appreciate it.
Hey, man, you got it.
It means a lot. So
you got it.
I know I'm not your typical poet, but I do like to have a venue.
Hey, man,
my mind.
That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. All right, man. We'll talk to you.
The next poet, okay?
Sounds good, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right. See you soon. Bye.
All right, bye. And that was Eric calling from Texas. All right, now we're going to head to Mama Oladeji making an appearance here from Cleveland, Ohio.
All right.
Hello, Mama.
Now we're going to head.
Hello.
Hello, how are you this evening?
Let me turn the volume down.
Sure.
I'm good. Okay. All right.
Hello, Ma.
Okay. I'm all yours.
All right, how are you?
Not that well. I forgot about the program. I should have remembered. I was somewhere else, and I was they came on earlier, and I was coming on. But I wanted to. I had some questions for Michael.
Yeah.
And I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was. God, I was trying to hold on to the thought before, and I just can't remember right now. Let me see.
That's okay. When you think of it.
No, it was okay. Let me read the piece and then maybe I'll think of it.
And if you don't, just send them to me a little bit later. I will happily answer your questions and stuff.
Okay. I hate when that happens. Brain fart.
Hey, it happens to me all the time.
Okay, this is called Stifled. There are secrets to be uncovered in the rainforest. Something mushrooming from a medicine tree. What goes on in the woods and jungles while we hustle, bustle, pacing the pavements like ants, never to become one with mighty trees. The buzzsaw and blades working to create another beautiful mall. I cannot breathe. This earthly home and these earthly home wreckers are earth disturbers. My environment is clinging on, holding on for dear life. Rats share spaces with us. Viruses fill the air on subways. Yet right here on this small planet, I could tap tonic from trees. Earth is choking. She's crying. I cannot breathe. So many secrets to be uncovered in the rainforest. Something mushrooming from a medicine tree could have cured us all. But I am forbidden to reveal. I feel I may never get to feel the cleansing of a forest breeze. I chant to feel that which has left my womb and disappeared. summon the spirits of unknown secrets to come enter into my energy field. Take me to the place where I may see streams of pure water, hear the calling of ancient voices. I play in red clay, molding clay pots and weaving fabrics on my loom. There are secrets that could mend us with knowledge of leaves and roots and red dirt and water. We can know of all things that lie in the thick, steaming hot lakes instead of cesspools. We'd have tonic water and mushroom juice. We never had the chance with these cemented grounds, chasing back and forth like ants, killing habitats and creating havoc. Can you plant a small tree in Manhattan for me, for her, for him, for them? They put us here, and now they leave. Wealthy folks head for the hills and mountains and bathe in natural fountains. Now it's them that are draped in the gold and amber. Put a damper on our habitat. Plundered all the earth. Replaced grass with turf. While my bare feet know not the grass nor soil. Stench and debris arise from pavements in boiling heat, blocking the charge that would release this negative energy from my feet. In peace.
Wow, worth the wait. Mama, that really struck a chord with me. I really enjoyed the imagery there.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Of course.
I'll be listening to the archives this week because I'm really, really, really sorry that I missed the first part of the program. So I'll be commenting later because it'll be open even after, you know, we leave. So I'll come back and express my feelings about what it is.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And if you think of the questions, just send them to me, okay?
Yeah, it was okay. I can't. It won't come back if I try real hard. So I'll just not even think about it and just let it come on its own because it was stunning.
Okay.
Anyway,
fair enough.
Thank you guys. Okay.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. All right. Still nothing from Sinister, it looks like.
No.
Huh?
Okay. I think he may have had to drop.
That's okay. So we'll just keep moving on.
Yeah.
Let's head now back to Alabama to visit with Stan. Hello, Stan. Welcome back.
Oh, hello, gentlemen. Wow.
There's been, that was a pretty powerful piece, wasn't it?
Extremely powerful. Mama was on point and ready this evening.
No kidding. I agree, you know. So so what do you have for us this time?
Well, what else? It's still Halloween coming.
All right.
So another little spooky piece, if you will. And this is more of a kind of a prose. It's called Shadow and Scream. Her last sane thought, wait, Shadow's eyes don't glow. Of course, he could not know that, and she may never be able to tell him. His intern sat in a chair, oblivious to all around. Physically, she was unresponsive to any outside stimulus. No apparent medical reason for her present state. Yet her hands were clenched to the point that her nails were embedded in her palms. And her eyes, wide open and wild, looked for some image, locked on some image only she sees now. Most disturbing was her
A pretty young woman with as analytical and logic-driven a mind as he sat before him, drained of color. Her face so taut it seemed on the verge of tearing. Her jaw distended and locked, mouth agape, in a grisly grimace. He and his charges had studied many alleged paranormal cases. They found them to be a combination of hyperactive imaginations and scientifically explainable causes. Never had any of these field studies resulted in such as this. What did she see, or imagine she saw, that could drive her from logic and sanity to this catatonic state of terror? A force unrelenting and unforgiving. An encounter she now relives while frozen in a moment of screaming silence. End peace.
That is an eerie, eerie piece read very, very well.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Stan. Like I said, you are, and it's meant as the biggest compliment. You're my preferred voice for the end of the world.
Film at 11.
Exactly. Well, thank you, sir. And we will talk to you next week.
Of course.
All right, wonderful.
And on to the next.
Hey,
thank you,
sir.
Gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. All right. Now, as we're heading into the last caller for the evening, I think this is probably one of the most perfect last callers of the night. I've always loved her in this slot. Let's go now to Mary in Arizona. Mary, I think we're having that interference thing. You're going to have to give us a call right back. We're having that issue. I apologize about that. We can just kind of tell there's this light little white noise that we hear. Or that I can hear more specifically, I think. Maybe my headphones are...
No, I always have a ringing in my ears.
Well, so do I. I have since I was 12.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so here we go. Hello, Mary.
Oh, the speed dialer.
Yes, well, thank you. I'm glad you made good use of it.
Yeah, don't make my fingers cramp now. I'm going to play you a little song on the piano.
All right, beautiful.
I'm the last one. What a lovely little evening. What good poetry. What the hell am I doing here? Shut up.
What the hell am I doing here? I don't know.
Yeah, what are any of us? Why did we get here and what are we doing? Okay, here I go. My little Halloween before Halloween, because all of you put me in the mood.
All right.
I'm writing, by the way. Maybe next week I'll share a little Headless Horseman or something. Orange, black, silver, fast machines, and chivalry. And savories. What do Batman and Mr. and Mrs. Cognito and the youthful human of any age have in common? Mm-hmm. I will tell you. This song was written by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller in 1959, number 23. The Searchers made it famous in 64. Let's go. I took my troubles down to Madame Ruth. You know that you see with the gold cap, too. So she's got a pad down on 34th and 5, selling little bottles of love potions every night. I told her that I was a flopper chick. I've been this way since 1956. She looked at my palm and she read my magic mind. She said, what you needed, love potion summer night. Well, she bent down and turned around and gave me a wink. She said, I'm gonna make it up right here in the sink. It smelled like different time, it looked like easy and me. I held my nose, I closed my eyes, I took a drink. I didn't know if it was day or night. I started kissing everything in sight. But when I hit the top, down 34th and 5, took my little bottle of my
1959 they made that song.
I want none of that potion, but I really like that
shut
version.
Up. Turn the cops away, close the lights, turn it down, put just a candle in the darkness, baby. Turn the lights.
Mary, thank you so much. We really appreciate you, and thanks for the performance, thanks for the writing earlier.
Oh, and the next Studio X, do you know what I look forward to? Oh, just a little, I'm going to do a camaraderie and a deja vu with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Let's go, Michael.
All right.
We got a rehearsal. We're going to do maybe a little something.
Okay, we're going to work this out. Let's see. How would we do this? Well, I would just have to play along with you as you're going through.
Email. We'll figure out.
Oh, we can figure out all that. I mean, there's tons of communication options.
I think we should do a little thing before the new year. Because I'll be at a new place and a new body. I'll be resurgery and everything by then.
Okay, well, we'll figure out a song, okay?
Yes, the new year and a new orange and black. Thank you, Michael, and good night all.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. And
black and blue.
And that was Mary Collin from Arizona rounding out our return engagement segment. Now, we've had a few people kind of drop off during the show. It happens. You know, sometimes people have to go to bed. Some people fall asleep, whatever. And but we want to say thank you to them. I want to say thank you to everybody who's called into the show, who supports us, who works with us. I am happy we're happy. I am.
It's okay.
We are happy.
Yes,
we
are.
My brain's kind of shut down. We're happy to be here and be able to help provide this and to be able to spend this time with you. And we thank you for spending your time with us as well. So, from Ursa, the Studio Cat. Wait, my gosh.
That's awesome.
From Novia, the Studio Cat. From Ursa, the Studio Dog. From JT and myself. Thank you so much. And we look forward to talking to you next week. Until then, keep writing. Good night.